Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and I will start at 18 and go to 23. Now the birth of Jesus was on the wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary for wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Be to God. It's like repeating in my head again the same exact scenario. Normally, whether you guys realize this or not, I have about three or four, mostly 5 points. And my points actually have like three or four sub-points. I don't say, hey, I'm going to have 8 points, pay attention. It just gets a little confusing. Today, I'm going to talk about 2 points, only 2 things. Now, you can pull anything out of any scripture and take off in any direction you choose to, if you can take the whole verse out of context. But I'm going to talk about 2 things here. And as somebody pointed out at the other church, I call this non-debatables, non-negotiable things. I'm not going to argue the point. But I have an argumentative personality, so I will argue with you over these things. But I won't take it seriously. I'll just let you discuss it, and I'm just going to head in a different direction. 2 things that are non-negotiable if you want to call yourself a Christian. I've been saved for the better part of my life, as my beautiful, wonderful, wants to embarrass her father or daughter said over there, I am 50 years old. I'll be 51 here pretty soon. Ever since about 16, 17 years old, I've been saved. I answered the call to Christ and came forward in a church. It's not even a church anymore. The denomination got into an argument, and they sold the building to a guy down the street who owns a gas station, and he turned it into a hotel. So I can say I've been a Christian the better part of my life. I've also been a horrible Christian the better part of my life. I've grown considerably as the older I get. The more I read scripture, the more I understand scripture. I make progress in every single day and going forward. But I've noticed that churches and church relationship and Christians like to argue. We like to fight. We argue over when the rapture is going to happen. We're pre-trib, we're post-trib, we're mid-trib. Some people say the rapture already happened. Don't believe them guys whatsoever. Jesus is coming before the tribulation, or is it going to come during the tribulation? Is it going to come in the middle of the tribulation? Is there going to be one rapture, or is there going to be 2 raptures? These are things that Christians argue about. If you don't know what the rapture is, it's Jesus is before the second coming. He's going to snatch people up. Christians debate and argue over the millennium. Is there a 1,000-year literal millennium reign? Some people think we're actually living in the millennium reign. I don't see how they get that, but they use scripture to back it up. It's pretty interesting when you look at it. We argue over the Sabbath. Is the Sabbath applicable to today? Is the Sabbath Sunday or is the Sabbath Saturday? We argue over this. Christians debate about tongues. Do we still speak in tongues? Is tongues a thing of the past? Have tongues gone away? If we speak in tongues, do you need an interpreter? Are you allowed to pray in tongues? We debate about policy. We debate about church structure. We debate about how it's ran. Is it majority rules? Are we Episcopalian structure? Which we are, actually. Divorce and remarriage. You want to get a fight started? Talk about divorce. Are you allowed to get divorced in the church? Are you not allowed to get divorced? We argue over communion. Should it be wine Or is it grape juice? We argue over the bread. Some people believe that the wine is actually the blood of Christ. Some believe that it represents the blood of Christ. Some say the bread is actually the bone, the body broken for you is actually the body. You can Google this stuff. People believe when you sip this, and once it's blessed, it becomes the blood in your drinking blood. They believe this. We debate over baptism. Are we immersed? Are we sprinkled? Are we poured? Are we just throwing it in your face? We argue over that. In the Methodist system, they'll do all three if you want it done. That's our beliefs in this church. But do we baptize? We argue, do we baptize in the name of the Father, the Holy Spirit? Or do we immerse people three times? Do we sprinkle them three times for the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? These are things that we actually argue over. We fought and we argue. We debate a lot. Churches have split and formed complete different denominations over these things, all because how we interpret Scripture. We debate and we argue over issues of so-called doctrine. However, in my limited 50 years on earth, I've concluded that most of these debates don't matter. It doesn't matter whatsoever. We lose friendships, we lose relationships. The rapture, it's going to happen whether you believe in it or not. It's whenever we think it's going to happen. If you're wrong, so what? I'm pre-trib myself all day. I can't seem to talk myself into any other one, and I've tried. If I'm wrong, so what? It doesn't matter. I'm still going to be snatched away, period. Jesus is going to come back whether you believe it or not. We like to argue about worship. But the reality is, it doesn't matter what day you worship on. If you're not truly worshiping God, who cares if you do it on Saturday or Sunday? You're not really worshiping God anyway, if you're not doing it at all. Speaking in tongues? It doesn't matter if you speak in tongues. Because if you can't talk to somebody about Jesus in English, I don't care what other language you're speaking. It doesn't matter. You can get divorced, you can get remarried, you can get divorced, you can get remarried, you can get divorced, you can get remarried. But if you're not married to Jesus, I don't care what you're doing. Because you're not covered by the blood of Christ. But we argue over this. So I've come to the conclusion when it's all said and done and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he's not going to ask you, okay, so where were you on baptism? What's your thoughts? Well, you were pre-trib. It was actually mid-trib. None of that's going to matter. From the way I look at the Bible, if you're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, perfect. If you're standing before the great white throne judgment, you're not saved. You didn't accept Christ while you were supposed to. He's not going to have a theological debate with you. You're going to be covered by the blood of Christ, or you're not going to be covered by the blood of Christ. And it's that simple. And to me, that's a non-negotiable. It's not debatable. I almost put not arguing, but I have argued this so many times recently. Somebody wants to argue, and I can't let it go, and something turns into an argument. Most of the time, I walk away from these type of arguments because I'll get angry quickly. I like to say it's my righteous indignation. You start insulting Christianity in the Bible, I'm going to come all over you. I'm going to snap at you, but truth is, it's my flesh struggling, because my flesh is that combat veteran who wants to just grab you by the throat and scream at you and tell you what's going on. But these issues, they're not worth fighting over. They're not worth wrestling about. Two things you need to understand, and the number one I'm going to talk about here, and the first thing that's not arguable is Jesus' miraculous conception. Miraculous birth. He was born of a virgin. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And he had a very difficult decision. He found out that his some say fiance, some say wife, in the Jewish tradition, once they were betrothed, their husband and wife, all they have to do is have the ceremony. he found his wife pregnant. Right then, he could have had her stoned immediately. But he didn't. He went away and spent some time with God, away from everybody else, to figure out what he was going to do. That's a side note here. That's a non-negotiable, non-argument. Mary's pregnancy was not of the efforts of man. She willfully gave herself to the Holy Spirit. It was not a sexual act whatsoever. However you want to explain it in your head, explain it in your head. But it was nothing physical about it. People view this announcement of the angel telling Mary that she was chosen. She willfully gave herself to God's Spirit. Mary had a willingness to let the Son of God be born of her womb. We, as Christians today, ought to be willing to let God and God's Spirit move in our lives. Are we willing to let God move in our lives? When we get saved, the Holy Spirit brings our heart closer to Christ. It's like a click, and we see it. We understand it immediately. This is what happened. It's not fake. It's not a bunch of nonsense. This actually happened. I remember sitting on a school bus in West Virginia there, Mossy, West Virginia. Great place. Don't visit. And a friend of mine told me he didn't believe any of this. None of it whatsoever. So I don't believe any of this. And I'm just sitting here listening to him. He's like, I believe in creationism. It just makes sense. Then probably 5 minutes goes by. I hear something happening on the radio in Jerusalem. And I'm explaining to this guy, well, if all this is fake, why are they talking about these current events right now that's going on? It's an actual place. This stuff actually happened. But if you're not willing to accept Jesus' divinity, born of a virgin, that's one of our core beliefs. We can't compromise on this. We find ourselves with non-believers and they want to argue over this. Politely and respectfully, argue back. This is something you cannot compromise, is the virgin birth. Mary did not have sex with her husband. Mary did not mate with another man. It was God. God chose her. God became flesh. That means he died on a cross. Our sins were washed away by his blood. His blood that was divine. Now I always feel like I always got to have a disclaimer. Jesus was fully human, but he was also fully God. I can pull one of you guys out of here and come up here and sacrifice you and let your blood spill on the ground. But it doesn't appease God. Your blood is normal. Jesus had to sacrifice his blood. His blood had to be spilled to cleanse the whole world, to appease an angry God. Jesus' blood is unique. You know, he hung on the cross, his hands and nails were pierced, his blood was pouring out for us, for our sins. It's Jesus' blood and Jesus' blood only that washes away our sins. Nobody else's blood. Only Jesus could do it. That's non-negotiable. And I'm quick to say I'm not going to argue it. Yeah, I will. I'll argue it all day until I reach a point. When you're arguing with a skeptic, there's nothing you can do. Just let them talk. Most of them have never read the Bible front page to back page. It's never happened. Jesus is God visiting earth. I almost feel that I say this scripture so much, almost every other passage, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's why Christmas is so special. A little baby born of a virgin prophesied hundreds and thousands of years earlier. Born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths, to fill for its ultimate fulfillment of God, to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt with men. If you take away Jesus' deity, you're just saying he's another religious leader. And people say that. Oh, he's just a religious leader. That's it. He's just another, divine daddy or some other nonsense you want to call it. That's not the case. He's not the same. Jesus' birth is miraculous. Miraculous conception. He's a miraculous person, a miraculous deity. He's not just another prophet. He was not just another good man. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Period. God wrapped in human flesh. Had one purpose. Live on the earth 33 years, a sinless, spotless life. Knowing he was born to die. Couldn't do nothing about it. And I say this a lot, and I'll just keep saying it. He was actually tortured. Jesus was tortured and then died. Tortured, then hung on the cross. Spilled his blood for us. For the world, this is foolishness, preaching the gospel. They don't care. But for believers, we understand the true power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. It's an amazing thing. Jesus did all that. And all we have to do is believe. He did the hard work. We just have to accept it. And we're going to be living with him for eternity. Or we'll be living somewhere else, hell, for eternity. And that's not debatable. I believe this with every ounce of my being. I've heard pastors say, well, I'm 99.9% sure. No, I'm 100% sure. And I said this earlier, if aliens land right out here and come out here, I don't believe any of that nonsense. You're not going to persuade me of this. The devil believes it. The devil's minions believe it. They know it's true. But they didn't make the acknowledgement that they believed it while they were on earth. They know it's true. Now we're going to talk about my second point. And the purpose of Jesus. Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus was sent to earth to save us from our sins. Nothing else. That blood was spilt to save us. That's a non-negotiable. That's non-debatable. And I'm trying to get angry because I'll fight somebody over that. Just kind of let it go. I got a worker as far away from Christianity that you could possibly believe. But I have to work with her. So I try to maintain a good working relationship with this person. But every once in a while we get into a debate where I got to walk away. Because she's so far away from Christianity. And this is an educated person. All we can do is make baby steps. Jesus' purpose was to save us. That's a non-negotiable. He brings salvation and he delivers us and he protects us. That's what salvation means. Jesus delivered, Jesus protects for us. He died for our sins, 100% for us. You know, I look back at my life and I see God. Might not see it today, might not see it tomorrow. But you look back on your life and you see, man, I could have been in a lot of trouble at that point in my life. God was protecting me. God was paving the way, putting us to where we need to go. And I said this story at the other church this morning. That one time in particular when I was in the Army, a friend of mine wanted to go do something. You know, when you're young and 20, you go do dumb stuff. And for whatever reason, this time I just didn't want to go. I said, I'm just going to stay in the barracks. I'm going to stay in the dorm room and just stay here. About 3 in the morning, this guy knocks on the door. It's nothing. Come on in. Turns the light on. Just kind of sitting there like, what's up? I'm waiting to hear about his wild night. He said, I got a DUI tonight. Kind of woke me up like, whoa. That's a do not pass go for the military. That's a career ending. Even if nobody got hurt. This man was T-boned going through an intersection because he was intoxicated. Now, when he got drunk, he went and picked up his girlfriends, as always. I didn't like these women. I don't have nothing to do with them. So whenever he would pick them up unexpectedly, I would get in the back of his Ford Ranger truck. If I would have been with him that night, I would have been in the back of that truck, intoxicated, and he would have ran to that intersection. You guys might not know that. They don't put airbags in Ford Rangers. Not in the back. Yeah. And I would have been flown. Now, at that time, I didn't think anything about that story, but looking back on stories like that, I think about it. I was protected, whether I realized it or not. I want you to think of it. You all have stories like that. Just think about it for a second. Tom, God protected you, whether you realized it or not. It's funny, God always protects me from me. I get in my own way. I block my own blessing many times. I'm going to close with this. With some water first. Muhammad was born, died, period. Buddha lived, died, period. Confucius, born, lived, died, period. However, Jesus, born, comma, lived, comma, died, comma, buried, comma, got up out the grave, comma, ascended into heaven, comma, sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, comma, coming back for us one day, exclamation point. That should be our focus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, don't let us lose focus of what Christmas is. The Word became flesh, and it dwelt with men, Father, so we can have this day, so we can be covered by the blood of your Son, so we can be put back at perfect communion with you again, Father. Father, let us not mess Christmas up. Let us re-grasp what it means, Father, as we leave out of here today. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.